Our fifth case for this morning is Torres Tristan against Eric Holder, number 10-1411, etc. Ms. Williamson.
Court, Amanda Williamson on behalf of Juan Tristan Torres. Mr. Torres's appeals turn on reversible errors of law made by the United States Customs and Immigration Service, the USCIS, during its consideration of his U visa petition and waiver application. This court reviews questions of law de novo. This court has exclusive jurisdiction to review USCIS's denial of Mr. Torres's waiver and U visa petition because USCIS's decision bears directly on his reinstatement and removal orders.
Now, it seems to me your case turns critically on how one reads these new November 2009 regulations. And it seems under these regulations that the U visa people who acquire a U visa through the secretary have this, the order of removal deemed canceled by operation of law, but the people who go through the EOIR route, basically, the immigration judge or the board, would not fall under the rule that you're arguing for. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. We're seeking relief only for petitioners situated like Mr. Torres, whose removal order would be automatically canceled as a matter of law upon the issuance of a U visa.
So isn't that kind of a bizarre system where we single out? Is there any rationale you can think of that would have cancellation by operation of law just for people whose order of exclusion, deportation, or removal was issued by the secretary?
It could be an issue where the agency accorded deference to the immigration judge. So where, let's say, DHS issued the order canceling removal, it deems it automatically canceled, but where an immigration judge had canceled it, DHS doesn't want to step into that territory without giving the immigration judge a means to look at that order.
Okay, so it's kind of a public choice explanation. You know, when we're just staying inside our own house, we can do it this way, but when somebody else becomes involved, maybe we defer more. Because the problem for you, I think, is that, as the government has cited, there's a lot of law saying that this is really a collateral matter.
This court has found other visas to be a collateral matter to removal, but none of the regulations applicable to those visas would allow for this kind of direct cancellation. And even in Fonseca Sanchez, where this court last addressed U visas, the court found that it would have exclusive jurisdiction over all matters that were immediately associated and intimately associated with an order of removal. And where the regulation seeks cancellation, that is almost as immediate as you can get to.
So my only other question for you, maybe my colleagues have some, is really at the end of the road. I mean, suppose we marched down this whole path with you and we decided that this effort to get the U visa through the waiver process, we package it all up together, and we look at the automatic by operation of law cancellation provision. So we get to the merits. On the merits, although it's not, as is not uncommon, the tightest agency opinion written, what is there to suggest that Mr. Torres is somebody who would receive relief?
Mr. Torres was deemed prima facie eligible to receive a U visa, and in fact he meets all of the statutory requirements for eligibility except for the waiver. He was the victim of a qualifying crime. The Chicago police certified that he had useful information and he had assisted in the investigation of the crime.
And that certification from the police is in the record?
Yes, it is.
I mean, because, you know, we boil down to the agency worrying about whether there is a statement addressing the three Hranka criteria and whether affidavits are sufficient. But, in the end, there's some discretion here on the waiver point, isn't there?
Yes.
I mean, the U visa may be a done deal if he can get the waiver, but this case really turns on the waiver.
Yes, it does. And in its decision on the waiver, USCIS made three errors of law in its consideration. It started by finding that affidavits were categorically unpersuasive without corroborating evidence. This is contrary to the regulations allowing for submission of any relevant, credible evidence and regulations that require USCIS to review that evidence. It's also contrary to USCIS's request for information of Mr. Torres. It asked for at two separate points for statements by him concerning information in the record.
Ms. Williams, those are points you developed well in your brief. Can I ask you a few questions that go beyond that a little bit? The status of your client's current criminal case?
Yes, he was sentenced this week to 37 months incarceration.
Okay. Presumably then we'll see about the later status. You were suggesting, I thought a moment ago, that if someone meets the criteria for a U visa, that they are entitled as a matter of law to such a visa?
No, he's eligible.
Eligible, is it right? Now, in this case, I believe, frankly, this seems about as far away from the purpose of a U visa as I can imagine. The statute of limitations for aggravated battery, I am told, is 3 years in Illinois. I grant that he did what he could, but he was attacked from behind. It was dark. But there's nothing he can do. There's no prosecution to assist, right?
Part of the purpose of the statute was to encourage individuals to come forward when they did have information about and were the victims of crime. And the regulation speaks to past information. The regulation states that it's relevant if you have current information, may have information, or in the past had information or assisted in the prosecution of a criminal.
And let me ask a more general question here. My impression, I haven't found any case in which any court granted judicial review of a denial of a U visa. Did I miss?
No, that's correct.
Under any theory.
That's correct, but there's been very little development in this area, and certainly not any after the regulations were issued in 2000.
So the interim regulations did not give that automatic cancellation?
No, it did not. It only allowed for stays, parole, and deferred action.
I mean, I'm troubled by the idea that a regulation that was designed, in essence, to avoid a problem with one part of the government not talking to the other part, as it says, okay, if you guys grant a U visa, you guys have to stop the removal proceeding. I'm troubled with your argument seems to suggest that kind of cleanup regulation has an unintended implicit effect of subjecting this entire category of visa decisions to judicial review they've never been subject to before.
Well, this would have judicial review. It just might proceed under a different path, perhaps under the Administrative Procedures Act that would work its way up through the district court and to a case before this court. So the overall ability to seek judicial review for questions of law and questions of constitutionality would exist regardless of the regulation.
Why don't we see a body of law then involving review of U visa denials under the APA?
That I don't know. I know this court suggested APA review for Fonseca Sanchez's.
If you'd like to save a few minutes,
thank you.
Do that. All right, Mr. Hayes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the Court, Timothy Hayes on behalf of the Attorney General. The action Mr. Torres requested this court undertake today is extraordinary. The court has never reviewed a visa petition denial alongside a final order removal under Section 242 of the Immigration and Nationality Act.
So what I want to know from you, Mr. Hayes, is how many other regulations follow the pattern of Section 214.14C5, Romanet 1, from November 2009, which, as you know, says the order will be deemed canceled by operation of law as of the date of USCIS's approval of Form I-918. I haven't seen anything else like that.
I'm aware of no others, Your Honor.
So I'm not sure how useful cases dealing with other visas or cases in this area prior to the effective date of that regulation are for us if the agency in its wisdom has decided to handle this visa this way. Don't you guys are usually here begging us to defer to the agency, and it's the agency's regulation that we're trying to deal with.
Actually, Your Honor, we're asking that this court not consider this part of an order of removal because a visa petition has never been considered part of an order of removal.
Because there's no visa petition that has come with this kind of direct effect on an order of removal, canceling the order of removal. So that sounds really direct to me. It doesn't sound like the kind of collateral effect that all of the other cases that you cited, and even Fonseca, even the Fonseca case, had to do with. So do we just ignore this language, or what do we do with it?
The best way I can explain that is through a hypothetical.
I hope your hypothetical will use the language of this regulation.
It will be based on this case's facts.
It needs to use the language of this regulation to be a useful hypothetical for me, anyway.
Okay. Mr. Torres was previously ordered removed. He illegally reentered the country.
Right, right.
He had the order reinstated.
And he's just now been convicted under 1326. I understand
that. Right. Okay, so he had his order reinstated. He then, subsequent to the reinstatement order, had filed the U visa petition. Now,
right.
I agree, if they would have granted the U visa petition, the reinstated order of removal would have been canceled by operation of law. That's correct. But
so there's a very direct consequence.
If it's granted.
If it's granted. While he's here. It doesn't actually affect the removal order itself. ICE can still execute that removal order. It doesn't withdraw the U visa petition.
Well, wait a minute. If it's granted, it does affect the removal order.
If it's granted, but he has no right to be here while it's being adjudicated. It's not like an adjustment of status application, Your Honor. And that was kind of the point we were getting at from Morales-Izquierdo. If you're removed from this country while you have an adjustment of status application pending, in most cases, it'll be deemed abandoned.
Oh, yeah, you're done.
So, the removal order is inextricably linked with.
Well, I don't know, but the fact is he's still here, and what he's saying, I think he's maybe saying two things. One is, in the unique circumstances of this regulation, the removal order is close enough to the fate of the U visa to render the whole thing reviewable. Then the next question is, where should review go? And, of course, Congress has hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered that it wants a single path to the Court of Appeals. It doesn't want the district courts to be dragged back into this APA or habeas or, you know, declaratory judgments or whatever. I can't even think of what all the vehicles might be. But essentially, I understand Congress to be speaking quite clearly that they don't want that path. So, of course, people who win U visas aren't going to be bothering anybody because they're happy. You know, they got their U visa. It's only the people like Mr. Torres who think they should have gotten the U visa and that legal error infected the failure to get it. I think it has to be under subsection D, by the way. I do think it would have to be legal error.
If we got that far,
I think we would have to find legal error. And I'm not sure that it exists here. I said, there's like a path that we've got to travel down. But it strikes me that somebody could say, I would have a right to stay here if my visa had not been denied because of a legal error.
Your Honor, he or she would not have a right to be here because there's no right to a specific time limit throughout that U visa adjudication. It doesn't have to be adjudicated within a certain time period. And that regulation itself says that if you're under an order of removal while you have filed a U visa petition, you can request deferred action from USCIS. If you're in removal proceedings themselves, you can request that the ICE counsel join in a possible motion to terminate. But you're not entitled
That's
to
the
it.
Second half of the regulation. The first half is all the DHS stuff, the USCIS stuff, if you will, if USCIS thinks this.
Right.
So I'm not worried about the second half. That's obviously not some, that would fall under Fonseca Sanchez, I think. It's Mr. Torres's situation that concerns me. Now, I do understand that granting the status, then there's still that annual limitation of 10,000 visas per fiscal year. You know, we've been down that road before, too. But the trigger date is in this regulation, the date of USCIS's approval of the Form 918. It's not the eventual issuance of the visa.
Right.
So if the Form 918 was erroneously by legal error denied, then this regulation looks to me as though it gives him an absolute right to have the order of removal canceled.
He would cancel the order of removal by operation of law.
Right.
If a visa number wasn't available to him, he'd be placed on a waiting list, and the waiting list is discretionary. You're not entitled to employment authorization, and USCIS can revoke you from the waiting list at its discretion.
Okay.
So I
would
agree.
But you still have the order of removal canceled, right?
In that particular subset of aliens, yes.
Right. And which is the one where Mr. Torres falls, right?
I'm sorry. I
apologize. I should have waited for you. Mr. Torres is in that group, though.
Yes, he is.
Okay. That's all I wanted to establish.
I mean, our argument is that despite that language in the regulation, it's still there are two paths that this court has usually taken post Cheng Fan Kuo to define what is related to an order of removal. One path is it has to be intimately and immediately associated with the order of removal, the action we're talking about. The other path is it's normally presented to the same adjudicator who would issue the order of removal, and that adjudicator would issue the order of removal after deciding the relief application that's presented to him. So we obviously don't have that path. We have the first pass. Is it intimately and immediately related? It's definitely not immediately, because it can happen well after a final order of removal is executed. This U visa petition could be adjudicated while Mr. Torres is in Mexico. It can be granted. He can go to the consulate, pick it up, and then just try to seek admission again into the United States. So there's no requirement that it be adjudicated within a certain period of time relative to the reinstated order of removal. So it's not immediately relevant to the order of removal itself. And we would submit it's also not intimately tied with the order of removal, because even if this court were to give Mr. Torres everything he asked for today, 1252 review, it were to you got over the exhaustion hurdle, you would go find that colorable error of law was alleged, that error of law is meritorious, you send it back to USCIS to adjudicate the waiver anew, they can still remove him tomorrow because they're not contesting the actual removal order itself.
Well, but if it's been deemed canceled by operation of law, I'm not sure that that's correct.
Well, it wouldn't be deemed canceled in his case because we're just talking about a waiver. They still haven't adjudicated the rest of the U visa petition. And that was the comment that was presented to my colleague earlier. Is he actually eligible for this U visa petition? We don't know that yet. They looked at the threshold question, is he admissible to the United States? No. So
right.
He needs
okay.
to seek a waiver of inadmissibility to be admissible to the United States. The only issue we're talking about here, I understand the U visa petition is an important part because that's how they're attaching it to get judicial review, but it still hasn't been fully adjudicated. We have no idea if they agree with the 4 points. You know, I agree that the crimes happened a long time ago. A statute of limitations has run. This does not strike me as the type of case that the U visa was designed for.
No, it doesn't strike me either. But the language of the regulation wound up being broader than what I thought it was for.
Me too, Your Honor. And I mean, I did search the Federal Registry myself. I mean, I went through that tooth and comb, and it didn't give any indication why that language was put in there. So I can't tell you why it was. I suspect it was administrative convenience, because if someone is granted a U visa, they're given temporary status here. So it's not the same thing as lawful permanent resident status, but you're still allowed to be here at least 4 years.
Sure.
As long as you don't do anything
wrong.
Yeah. So a lot of people are going to say, I don't want this order of removal hanging over my head. Please cancel it. And they don't want to deal with those adjudications. The reason why I suspect you can't do it with EOIR is they don't have the authority to do it. In a DHS regulation, which is the 200 blocks before the thousands, that doesn't carry weight with EOIR. EOIR is in the 1,000 block.
Okay.
So I know it's bureaucracy, and I apologize. I'm over time. But thank you
so much. We appreciate it. Anything further, Ms. Williamson?
The waiver application is a required portion of the 8 CFR 214.14 waiver or U visa petition. It's an element of that petition and part of the overall U visa petition.
But wouldn't you agree that because the agency sort of threw them off the tracks at the waiver point, they didn't really finish adjudicating? They made some preliminary statement, but they didn't finish adjudicating the U visa.
They denied his U visa on the basis of the lack of the waiver.
Right, but isn't that because they didn't think they needed to reach anything else?
Yes, but it's still a final order as to his U visa.
Right, but if we were to disagree with that, it doesn't mean that they've adjudicated the rest of the,
no.
There'd have to be more proceedings.
Okay. And for Mr. Torres, cancellation of removal is still important. Even if in the interim he was deported, there would be some value in having his underlying order of removal canceled, even if he was out of the country.
Okay.
What would that be?
Well, then it would have implications for him returning to the country, and he couldn't again.
Doesn't it change it from 5 years to 10 years or back again?
That's the difference?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.